Then all living creatures would no longer regard us as a threat. Any act that helps sentient beings feel safe and secure is the giving of fearlessness. In doing so perfectly, we will attain healthy and long lives. Emperor Qianlong of the Qing Dynasty, the last dynasty, attained wealth, intellect, wisdom, health, and long life. Honorable as a great emperor, and wealthy as one who possesses the entire world. He was truthful, clever, wise, and lived a long life. He was emperor for 60 years and supreme emperor, father of an emperor, for 4 years. He was endowed with these great virtues because in his previous lifetimes he had practiced the cultivation of the giving of wealth, of dharma, and of fearlessness. The Buddha teaches that bodhisattvas must practice the paramita of giving. Paramita means perfection. The question is, how can we practice giving to the state of perfection? We do so simply by turning our thoughts around, by no longer thinking of ourselves, but solely of others. In this way, we are practicing giving anytime, anywhere. But we will not yet have achieved perfect giving. Perfect giving is to let go, or to be willing to give all that we possess and to help all others. Giving and gaining are one. If we have not practiced giving, we will not gain. When we give less, we gain less. When we give more, we gain more. Do you have fears, worries? Do you have birth and death, reincarnation? Why aren't you willing to discard them? Giving is to part with all of these to attain great perfection and great freedom. This is the ultimate giving, the paramita of giving. We start by parting with our material possessions and gradually part with everything. If we are able to let go of our afflictions, birth, and death, then we will uncover the purity, wisdom, and abilities within our self nature. The second paramita is abiding by the precepts, which means abiding by customs, rules, regulations, and laws. Everything big and small, worldly and beyond, has their own natural laws. We need to follow these, for only by doing so can we accomplish an undertaking quickly and perfectly. For example, within the family, we need domestic equity, domestic etiquette, or seniority in human relations to guide us, to guide the behavior between parents and children, husband and wife, brothers and sisters. The manner of how things are accomplished needs to be followed. This is similar to cooking rice. We wash it, put it into the pot, and then cook it. Without following the proper sequence, the rice will not be properly cooked. This is even truer in learning and practicing Buddhism. If we want to achieve, we must follow the guidelines told to us by the Buddha, the four great vows of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. First, we vow to help all living beings. After that, we discard all worldly habits and worries and afflictions and attachments to end all afflictions. Only then do we master all methods. Finally, we attain Buddhahood. Only when we become Buddhas will we have the ability to help all beings and thus perfectly achieve the four great vows, and especially the first great vow. Sentient beings are innumerable. I vow to help them all. Some may ask, is it really necessary to attain Buddhahood? Won't it be enough to become a Bodhisattva? Although a Bodhisattva can help living beings, he is unable to help a Bodhisattva who is equal or higher in attainment. For example, an equal enlightenment Bodhisattva cannot help another equal enlightenment Bodhisattva. However, a Buddha can help them as well as all others. Therefore, only when we attain Buddhahood can we perfectly help all beings in the universe. With such a vow, we can generate the great compassion to help all beings, to be diligent in severing our afflictions and mastering all methods. Today, many practitioners have not yet sincerely generated their vows, although they recite them daily. Why do I say this? Because they are still have the mind of discrimination. Ideas of favoring and disfavoring, self and other, love and hate. Consequently, they practice discrimination. They help people they like and ignore those they dislike. Theirs is not a perfect vow, not a genuine vow. A perfect vow is that of a bodhisattva and arises from the non-discriminatory mind, the bodhi mind. It is wonderful, inconceivable, and far beyond the minds of ordinary people. The third paramita is the paramita of patience. In whatever we do, we need to exercise patience. As stated in the Diamond Sutra, all natural laws of the universe attribute their success to patience. Without it, we cannot succeed in anything. For example, to complete our college education, we have to be patient for 4 years. This audience needs to be patient to sit here for 2 hours to listen to my lecture before you achieve perfection in this lecture. Without patience, we can never attain anything, no matter how good our cultivation, no matter how good our conditions are. Of the 6 paramitas, Buddha Shakyamuni in the Diamond Sutra stressed giving and patience in particular. They are the keys to success in cultivation. It has been said that it is difficult to handle matters, but it is even more difficult to interact with people. It was not so difficult to interact with people in the past, but now it is. Why? Education in the past taught people the proper manner and behavior in which to conduct themselves. Today, it teaches people how to make a living. It is no wonder that we do not know how to conduct ourselves. We are unable to understand the changing of our emotions, much less those of others. Therefore, it has become increasingly difficult to get along with other people. There are 3 categories of patience. First, tolerate the injuries of physical and verbal abuse. Patience is a virtue. With patience, we will have a quiet and pure mind. Thus, it will be easier to attain deep concentration and achievement. When we successfully practice patience, we will gain the greatest good fortune. Second, we would do well to practice patience for the variations of the natural elements are undergone. Hot and cold, summer and winter, hunger and thirst, as well as natural disasters. Third, be patient in the arduous course of our cultivation. Before attaining the joy of cultivation, and before our cultivation becomes strong, we will encounter many obstacles. However, once we get through this phase, we will attain happiness. Why? Because we are on the right path. This is like traveling on an expressway. Before we can get on, we keep circling around and driving around trying to find the entrance. This is very frustrating because there are many cars in our way and we cannot drive fast. We have to remain patient. Once we get on the expressway, it is much more pleasant because traffic moves smoother and faster with no hindrances. Our practice in Buddhism is like this. In the beginning, we move around trying different methods and schools. Which ones shall I choose? Which shall I learn? Some people are fortunate because they only spend a few years to find the right method. Others are not so fortunate and may take 10 to 20 years or even a lifetime in the attempt to find the right method. Fortune is the result of our good root, merit, and virtue, cause, and condition. With these, the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas will surely help us, as they never abandon anyone. And once we have the mind to accept their teachings, we will be helped by the Buddha to find awakening. Then our futures will be bright. Why does the Buddha not simply tell us what we need to know? He did, but we did not listen. We were told the method, but thought to ourselves, well, this may not be a good method. I hear that another one is better. We have thus argued with the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, so they have chosen not to come to us. Please consider this carefully. We need to be patient before we can attain achievement. Without patience, we cannot advance to a higher stage. For patience is the prerequisite for deep concentration and diligence. The fourth paramita is the paramita of diligence. The Chinese word for diligence is comprised of two characters, meaning perseverance in a specialized field and progress. The two need to work together. Buddhism is neither conservative nor backward, but seeks daily improvement. Some say that Buddhism is no longer relevant. These remarks are erroneous because the people who said them did not know the paramita of diligence. Progress is good, but more important is progress with diligence. Currently, there are many great scientists in the West who have made many discoveries. They persevered. They did research every day and never stopped. The same applies to learning Buddhism. We practice diligence when we choose one school or method and stay focused on our selection, studying until we excel in it before advancing to another method. It is not effective to concentrate on different methods at the same time. Once we understand one method, we understand all of them. This is known as once we achieve in one, we achieve in all. If we try to practice many methods before we are enlightened, they will become obstacles. Let me tell you what happened to one monk who specialized in the Buddha name chanting method. In the beginning of this century, Master Dishan had a student who became a monk at the age of 40. So the student was almost the same age as the master. The two had been childhood friends. Master Dishan, who was from a wealthy family, had received a good education. However, his childhood friend was from a poor family and had received little education. When the friend grew up, he could only do manual labor and thus had a very difficult life. One time, he went to visit Master Dishan. After staying at the temple for a few days, he said to the master that he too wanted to become a monk. "Why?" asked the master. "Because life is too hard and I want to become a monk," replied his friend. The master initially denied his request because he felt the rigorous training and sutra memorization would prove too much for someone who was illiterate and much older than novice monks usually are. The other monks would look down upon his friend, feeling everything would prove too much for his friend. The master denied the request. But the friend persisted, and the master finally gave in. Master Dishan said to him, "I will accept you as a monk, but I don't think you need to take the vows of abiding by the precepts, because you may not be able to stand the rigorous training of 53 days. There are many deserted temples in the countryside. I will find you one to stay in." So the master found one and arranged for some people to provide food for his friend. He then taught his friend, the new monk, to chant Amitabha. Just recite this phrase, Namo Amitabha, over and over. When you are tired, take a rest. When rested, resume chanting. I am sure that you will greatly benefit from this. And so, the new monk isolated himself in the small temple and concentrated solely on his chanting. 3 years later, he went to visit friends and relatives. He came back and told the woman who had been doing the cooking for him, "There is no need to prepare food for me tomorrow." The woman thought the monk, who had not left the temple for 3 years, had decided to revisit his friends and family the following day. The next day, she went by the temple to see if he had returned. She went to the temple and called out. Receiving no reply, she went inside. She found him standing with his recitation beads in hand. She greeted him, but received no response. When she moved closer to him, she realized that he was still standing, but that he was dead. Never having seen anything like this before in her life, she rushed off to ask the others who were also taking care of him what to do. They sent a message to the master's temple, informing him of the strange occurrence and asking what to do. Due to difficulties in traveling at that time, it took Master Dixiang 3 days to reach the small temple. He understood that his friend had been born into the Western Pure Land. He looked at the still standing dead friend and said admiringly to him, "You have proved that your decision 3 years ago to become a monk was a good one. Not one of the Dharma masters or abbots at all of the famous way places can match your achievement. For 3 years, the uneducated monk had done nothing but recite Namo Amitabha. His single-minded, ceaseless recitation had resulted in his achievement of being freed from the cycle of birth and death and being born into the Western Pure Land. The practice of diligence is important regardless of what we are doing, whether chanting Amitabha, sitting in meditation, reciting mantras, or studying sutras. We need to practice diligence. In studying sutras, we want to help ourselves as well as others.